Hello, it's Larry Clark with another From the Composer series from Excelsior Music Publishing. I'm here today talking to composer Jason Torrens. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
We're glad to have you on this podcast today. And can you tell us briefly about, how'd you get starting in composition and a little bit about your background?
So I consider myself a music educator, first and foremost. I'm currently finishing up my Master of Music degree at the University of Florida. And I've taught middle school band for 3.5 years here in Southern Arizona. I've been composing pretty much since I was in high school. I just thought it was something that all musicians did, in addition to performing and improvising, those kinds of things. And I've been composing ever since.
So did you study composition in your college career, or was it just the music education that brought you to composition?
I took a few classes in my undergrad years. I took Composition 1 at Western Michigan University with Dr. Lisa Coons. And then I took a class called Composition 2 with Dr. Richard Adams, also at WMU. And I also studied counterpoint with Dr. Adams.
Interesting. So anything in your during your master's? Now, did you go to University of Florida in Gainesville, or was this just an online thing? Or what's the, because I know you're in Arizona.
Yeah, their Master of Music and Music Education is an online program.
Oh, nice.
I did do a theory class where we had a pretty significant composition final, and I ended up doing an arrangement for a jazz ensemble of the tune My Favorite Things from the movie The Sound of Music.
Interesting. So obviously you write for concert band. Do you just write for concert band, or is there other things that you're doing?
Actually, I think most of what I've written so far is chamber music.
Okay.
I really like writing contemporary style chamber music, but I also write for students. I just want to write music that's exciting for them to play and gets them to play more.
So have you found that you kind of use your students as your laboratory?
In a sense, yes. I've written some kind of experimental stuff for them, but I've also written some more traditional stuff. Like Canterbury Sketches, I originally wrote it for my students, and it was commissioned by a school in California as well.
Oh, awesome. So what types of chamber works are you working on or have you written?
Currently, I have a project for the Leviathan Trio, which is for flutes, cello, and piano.
Oh, interesting.
In the past few years, I've written quite a few solo flute works. I wrote a solo trombone work, which will be premiered in April at the Society of Composers Incorporated student conference in Texas.
Nice.
I also did a piece for tuba and chamber strings. So,
excellent.
I've been writing quite a diverse oeuvre of contemporary classical.
Obviously, the piece that Excelsior is publishing here real soon, Canterbury Sketches, sort of has, I guess, a Baroque sort of style. What is that kind of indicative of your style of composition, or are you doing many other things?
I like to write in a variety of styles. I don't like to be just pinned down to one label. I've always kind of admired the organ works of J.S. Bach, like many people have.
Sure.
And that's what I was starting to think of when I started writing that piece. Interestingly enough, it actually started with, I got the commission from Jose Fausto in California. And I ended up using my classroom whiteboard, and I just drew out some shapes and things on the board, and it turned into Canterbury Sketches in the final product.
Give us a little more information on that. What do you mean by that, shapes on the board? As far as like shape of the piece or form?
Yeah, I just started out with some very basic ideas. I try to use a variety of ways when I compose. I don't always just sit down at a piano or sit down at a computer. Sometimes I like to draw and then interpret my drawings in music. And that's one of the ways I started generating the musical material for this one.
So do the drawings depict certain like shape of the line or just the sort of the overall arch or feeling of the piece? How does that work?
It's a little bit of both. I draw out the shape of a section, and maybe some of the shapes will indicate timbre or texture.
I'm just curious about that because that's something that I don't do. The only thing I remember from my teacher in graduate school was he talked about, well, if you know you want to run there, just put, you know, 16th notes and no note heads and then figure out the run later. So just kind of put a shape of where you want things to go and then fill it in later.
Yeah. Well, I got the idea while doing my undergraduate degree. I think it was either Lisa Coons or Adam Lenz who introduced me to that idea. Eric Whitaker is also a composer who does that. He'll just draw something and then turn it into this beautiful choral product at the end. I think it's just an overall shape type of thing before I start thinking about specific notes and rhythms. And
yeah, you're right. I saw something recently where he did a piece about space or something like that, and he wrote a whole graphic representation of the piece before he actually wrote it.
Yeah, that's
interesting.
Kind of the same process, yeah.
Essentially, because that's so foreign to me, I guess, just in the way that I work. But that's what's cool about these podcasts is I kind of get interesting perspectives on how, you know, every composer does it differently.
Yeah, I think we all have something we can learn from each other, for sure.
Well, and I also think it's just interesting to the listener that in these podcasts that they get an opportunity to sort of get inside your head a little bit and figure out what makes you tick. And
what I think is great about the graphic approach to composition is you don't need to know any kind of music notation. So I think a student who is younger, like elementary age, where they can draw, but they don't necessarily know how to read music, can create a graphic score and interpret that in a live performance. So I think that could be a good teaching tool.
That's really cool. I like that.
Thanks.
So we obviously already got into a little bit of your process of how you compose. Since you're a teacher by day, I guess, when is your time that you write, and how's that process go?
I find that my best writing happens late at night. So around bedtime.
You're a young guy, see?
Yeah,
I used to do that.
When we dream, that's when our brains are really hyperactive. And if I'm up around that time of night, then my brain is more creative. I tend to compose at night pretty regularly too, just because it's convenient when I'm home. I don't have to worry about preparing for work and then composing and then going to work. So, yeah.
So do you try to do a little bit every day? And you mentioned that you do graphics, notation sometimes to get started. How much is, that, or how much is just you sit down at the computer or piano or something?
I usually just sit down at the computer and compose myself. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I like to try just a bunch of different things just to get musical material to happen. Even if it's not good, I can just throw it out later. So I think some of the best composers from history, like Beethoven, for example, were the best editors. They wrote a bunch of material, they knew it wasn't as good, so they threw it out. And you can trace that even through Beethoven's sketchbooks that still exist today.
Right. I always tell students, that Beethoven had the first movement of Fifth Symphony sketched for 10 years.
Yeah.
Yep. I said, wow, it took a long time to write bum, 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 bum.
But in the end, it's perfect, and every note is exactly where it needs to be.
Exactly. So the point is, you can do a lot with a little, but it might take a long time to figure out how.
Another way I really like to compose is to sit down at a piano and just improvise for a little while. And then if something catches my ear, I'll take some notes on it. Or maybe I'll just record it on my iPhone and save it for later.
Right.
And I feel like it's a really good idea to have lots of ideas in your... In a folder, or a mental folder, where they can incubate in your brain over a long period of time.
Right.
And one of the things I've learned in my grad school is that incubation is a big part of creativity. And so if you want to create something, you get the idea, you let it sink into your mind, and your subconscious works on it until it can come out in a meaningful way.
Well, the other thing that I find too is sometimes an idea that seems completely, utterly unrelated to maybe the piece I'm working on at the moment, later on may reveal itself as working perfectly in that piece, after you start to really work the problem.
Yeah, or maybe it works in a completely different piece, in a completely different context.
Right. So having some musical material in your toolbox, certainly is helpful when you're trying to put it all together.
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
So do you ever experience writer's block? And if you do, how does it manifest itself, and how do you get out of that?
I do frequently have writer's block. Sometimes that means I need to work on a different project that I've started.
Yeah.
Sometimes it means I just need to write music that isn't that good, but I'm still writing and I'm keeping up that habit. And I think composing, just as any other skill, it's kind of a habit. You have to do it regularly. Mm-hmm. And if you do, sometimes that can break you out of writer's block as well.
Yes. Do you listen to other people's music? Does that help you at all?
Yes. I think score study in particular is very useful. I like to listen to a variety of new and old music.
What types of music do you listen to?
Lately, I've been listening to a lot of jazz, like artists like John Coltrane and Miles Davis. They're just endlessly inspirational to me. I've also been listening to a lot of Mozart lately. I have
that's at two ends of the spectrum.
An off again thing with Mozart, where I'll think that I'm tired of listening to him, that I discover a new piece of his that I haven't heard before, and that I fall in love with his music all over again. One of the more popular genres. I like listening to a lot of metal music, and grunge. I do like grunge music.
Well, you now just got a lot of fans that are in bands. After saying that. You can relate to the students with that comment.
Yeah, I hope so. Prog rock too. The rock band Rush is one of my favorites.
Oh, sure. What's interesting, because we sort of have similar background in that I taught middle school as well, is that you get a lot of knowledge of the newer music from the students you teach.
Yeah. I mean, particularly in this culture too. I grew up in Michigan. And so I knew nothing about Mexican folk music until I moved down here.
Right.
And then I have students who introduce me, hey, you have to listen to this artist. You have to listen to this banda music. And it's all really cool.
Well, that's just, that just goes to say that there's good music no matter what the genre or style.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just have to find it for sure. So what types of pieces are you working on right now?
I'm working on two pieces for a commission. I'm working on a grade one. As a consortium of about 6 members, and in grade 3, about the same number of members on the consortium. Mm-hmm. I have some musical material drafted out for that, and I'll be working on that pretty heavily over the next month. I'm also working on, like I said, that piece for the Leviathan Trio for flutes, cello, and piano. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be one of my biggest works to date, both in terms of my compositional process and in the scope of the length of the piece, just because I have so many ideas I want to put into it. So at some point, I think I'm actually going to have to figure out how to pare down the ideas into what's essentially the piece I'm working on.
Right. Well, that's also part of the process, is figuring out what not to use.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah, that's, was it Michelangelo who said that he takes a block of marble and he just cuts out everything that isn't the statue?
Right. Right. That's a great quote. Well, Jason, thank you for taking the time today to talk to us. And I appreciate all your insights about your piece, Canterbury Sketches, and your compositional process. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, that's another episode of From the Composer. This is Larry Clark from Excelsi Music Publishing. Thank you for listening.